old simply did not suit her. And he had been her friend, the one friend whose company she'd always welcomed. His feelings on the matter confused and troubled him. It would be different if Alexis had made it clear why they were on this mad venture and what he hoped to gain from it, he thought as he picked his way over the rocky ground. The fact that the man was keeping his motive secret suggested all was not right. Why the pressing need to keep going, to cover more ground, to exhaust everyone in the group? Didn't that suggest that Alexis was simply carrying out the ruler's orders, independent of the commander and his men? All that talk about being followed might be lies told to reassure them that Alexis was not still the ruler's loyal man. He was taking Stasia because she could find the way. And as for Lucas himself, he was no more than excess baggage, dragged along because Stasia had probably refused to leave without him, refused to cooperate if he was hurt any further. He remembered sharply that he had been less than a day away from being flogged to death. The uncomfortable fact was, he owed Alexis his life. He stumbled, nearly fell. Mattis, who was close by, reached out to help him balance. "Careful," the big man said quietly. "All right?" "Fine." It sounded curt, unmannerly. "Thanks." "I think we could all do with a rest," Mattis said. "I'd give a lot for a good night's sleep, not to speak of a chance to wash my smelly clothing. But with rain coming, there's no hope of getting things dry." "Might set some traps," said Carolus, coming up behind. "Rations won't last forever. Not sure what might be out and about in this sort of terrain." "Bears," suggested Mattis. "Not quite what I had in mind, my friend. A marten or two would be more like it. Not that there's much meat on them, but it'd still be welcome." Carolus had a fishing line as well as the wherewithal for traps. In one or two of the lakes they'd passed, he'd had some luck and they had enjoyed a sustaining meal. But they'd need to hunt and trap more as they went. The supplies they'd carried were already running low. Lucas wondered how Stasia would cope with the killing. She'd never really explained how it was for her, but he knew she could feel the suffering of creatures nearby, almost as if she herself were being hurt. She wouldn't be wanting to tell Alexis about that. Their fledgling friendship surely wasn't strong enough. 34. Stasia. It was more overhang than cave, but deep enough to provide shelter for all of them. By the time they reached it, the rain was bucketing down, though the tall pines surrounding the outcrop provided an added shield against the deluge. Alexis had no choice but to agree to a halt. Still, he made sure the time was not wasted. After helping set up camp, Carolus and Mattis went off hunting, or possibly fishing, depending on what they found upstream. A narrow watercourse emerged from the forest not far from their place of shelter. They'd need to keep an eye on it if the rain persisted. But if there was a pond or small lake further up, there might be fish or eels to be had. Mattis had brought a supply of salt, which was being carefully rationed. A good catch might be preserved for a leaner day. Alexis had insisted the two men stay together. Nobody was to wander off alone, except on the short walk required to relieve themselves in relative privacy. Stasia and Lucas collected wood for the fire, stacking it well under the overhang. There was a depression in the ground, below the outer rim of the cave roof. Flat stones had been laid around it. It seemed this had been used as a camping place by others in the past, though from the look of it, not for some time, which raised questions nobody was asking right now. By nightfall, the storm was raging, with bright flashes of lightning punctuated by furious thunderclaps and heavy rain. The wind added its howling voice, and around the cave the stately pines shivered and moaned under the onslaught. Once or twice Stasia heard a cracking sound, as if somewhere out there a forest giant had dropped a limb. Flip had retreated into the darkest recesses of the cave, where she'd snuggled into someone's cloak. They'd had a fine meal, thanks to the fish the men had caught. Their fire had stayed alight so far. Before the worst of the storm, Stasia had found some wild mushrooms and a handful of herbs, and Mattis had cooked everything into a kind of soup. They still had a small supply of the hard wayfarer's bread. Each took a chunk, which, dipped in the warm brew, softened enough to be eaten without endangering a person's teeth. It seemed unlikely they'd be able to go on in the morning. The storm was relentless, scourging the land all around them. The gentle trickle of the stream had become a wild gushing, but so far the water was spilling out onto the open ground rather than coming sideways into their place of shelter. Now, as they sat around the fire with their bellies comfortably full, it was time for stories. She was glad Lucas had suggested it, though surprised as well. He was uneasy about their situation. She only had to look at him to know that. Up till now, he'd been reluctant to add his voice to the planning, which was silly. He was a farmer, a practical man, a solver of problems. Who better to help this strange expedition reach its destination safely? Whatever the true destination was. "Who's first tonight?" Carolus asked. "Stasia? Mattis?" "We're waiting for Alexis's story, aren't we?" Stasia could have told Lucas this was not the way to get Alexis talking, but she did want to hear that story. She looked across at their leader. They were all losing weight on the journey, conserving the rations and working their bodies hard. Alexis looked almost gaunt. The name Hawkman was more apt than ever. The look in his eye was forbidding. "It does feel like time," she said quietly. A silence. Seemed nobody else was going to back her up. But then, the rest of them probably knew all about Alexis's plan. It was only herself and Lucas, the outsiders, who had been kept in the dark. "It's not safe." Alexis's voice was barely audible above the wild noise of the storm. He was looking in her direction, but she thought he was seeing something far, far away. Perhaps far away and long ago. "Not yet." "Who's going to overhear you, Alex?" It was Mattis who spoke, his deep voice calm and reassuring. "Who's going to be out here on a night like this? Except crazy folk like us, that is." Alexis shook his head, made some kind of gesture. Stasia didn't understand. "You could tell part of it," said Carolus. "Save the end until you're ready to go on, like Stasia's tale of the strange companions on their journey." Silence. Mattis reached to stir up the fire. Stasia wished she could talk to Alexis the way she did to Flip, or indeed to any animal needing reassurance. "If it's so hard, why not get it done now, when you're among friends? Be brave. Just say it." Because this wasn't solely about being followed by the ruler's men or by any kind of enemy, including those whose weaponry was eldritch voices. Looking at Alexis, she saw the shadow of the boy he had once been, and knew without needing to be told that there was some hurt deep inside him, a burden he had carried for years, growing up at court, learning the strange ways of folk there, becoming indispensable to the ruler. And then, "Tell us what you can, Alex," she said softly, not sure if she was speaking to the man sitting opposite her, or to that long-ago boy, or only to herself. "Take all the time you need." Alexis drew a deep breath, squared his shoulders, as if preparing for a physical challenge. Out in the forest, above the noise of the storm, something let out a howl that brought sudden tears to Stasia's eyes, a cry of sorrow, a song of loss. The others sat silent, waiting. "I'm no storyteller," Alexis said. "I have no gift for that, but I'll do the best I can." The firelight was on his face, the stormy dark behind him. "As I told you, Stasia, I was in these parts once before, as a child of 10, staying for a short while on a holding near Sweetwater with a friend close to my own age and our parents." He drew a deep breath. Whatever it was, it hurt him still. My friend had a grand future ahead of him, and because of that, there were many folk to watch over him. Servants, tutors, guards, a privileged sort of life, but lacking freedom. Even his friends were carefully chosen for him. This was not what Stasi had expected. There was such pain in his eyes. They should not have pushed him into this, but she wanted to hear more. "What was your friend's name?" she asked. Alex glanced at Mattis, then at Carolus, almost as if seeking permission. Both were listening with quiet attention. "Marcus," Alexis's voice cracked as he spoke the name. "We slipped away one afternoon to go exploring in the forest. An expedition. Running, climbing, finding small treasures, playing games. Then the light began to fade. It was later than we'd thought, and people would be looking for us. So we headed back, or tried to. But we'd lost our way. Whatever was coming, it couldn't be good." Alexis had fallen silent, bowing his head. Stasia became aware of Flip beside her, pressing up against her legs. She gathered the dog onto her knee, welcoming her warmth. It seemed Alex needed to tell this, reluctant as he had been. But it was hurting him. Anyone could tell that. Stasia felt that hurt in her own heart, almost as if... No, that could not be so. She would not believe it. "We tried to find the way. It was dusk, and we knew we'd be in trouble. No sign of the house, only branching paths that might have led anywhere. And..." Suddenly it seemed Alexis could not find the words. He was somewhere else, Stasia could tell, lost in the past, seeing it before his eyes. "Here," said Mattis, offering his friend a water skin. "Take a drink. I'll make a tea later. Still got some of the chamomile mix left." "Stop if you want, Alex," Stasia said. "The rest can wait." But she hoped he would go on. She hated the thought of those two children out in the forest with the dark coming. Wouldn't they have heard the voices of folk looking for them, calling their names? He drank, wiped his hand over his mouth. "We split up. My idea. Went down separate paths. Arranged to call out if we spotted the house. We said we'd count to 50 as we walked, then come back if neither of us found it." Stasia wondered if she really did want to know what came next. Pavel had moved in closer. He looked like a big-eyed ghost. Something in this had disturbed him badly. Lucas was grim-faced. But Alex went on, led now, she thought, by a force he could not stop. "I saw it before I got to 50. The high slate roof, the light from a window. I called out. No answer. I could have gone straight there and fetched help, but I headed back instead, shouting his name. I couldn't run. The dusk was closing in and it was hard to see the way. I got to the place where he should have been waiting, but he wasn't there." In the silence, Stasia saw that every listener was caught by the tale. Each waited with bated breath as she did. Even if they knew the story, even if they knew the outcome, perhaps they had not heard it told this way. Raw, cruel, straight from the heart. Lucas looked as if he might cry. Pavel's face was a story in itself. Perhaps this had awakened some fearsome memory for him. "I went along the path Marcus had taken," Alexis said, "and it led to that place we saw on our way up, with the rock wall and the ledge. I called his name one last time. Then I turned back, and after a while I heard other voices. My father, Marcus's father, a search party. But they were too late. It was too dark for searching. They went out at first light next morning with tracking dogs, but Marcus was never found." This time the silence was longer. Alex sat staring into the fire. Stasia had no doubt that this story was true. He had borne this burden since the day the terrible thing happened. Perhaps it had governed many of his choices as a man. How would a family ever recover from such a blow? How could they ever forgive young Alexis? But then, these were only children. She imagined Thomas in that situation, a boy of around the same age, and how a child might not make the same choices as a man or woman. Mattis broke the silence by rising and filling the pot from a water skin. He hung it over the fire. "Not that tea is the answer to everything," he murmured, more to himself than to the others, "but it always helps." Stasia was still watching Alexis. Her heart broke for him, leader and royal confidant though he was. They were all tiptoeing around him, as if afraid to recognize that the child was still there. Mattis was the wisest, but now, seeing the haunted look on Alexis' face, the defeat in his posture, she knew something more was needed. "Don't think too much, just do it," she told herself, rising and walking over to him. "You were a child," she said softly, and sitting down beside him, she put an arm around his shoulders. "Whatever happened, it was not your fault. You did your best." She thought of that boy running, running and calling, keeping going as night fell and the silence drew out. In that child was the seed of this driven man, a man who tried to do everything perfectly, a man who continued to judge himself every moment of every day. He did not flinch or pull away from her, but she felt the tension in his body, a tight trembling that suggested he might give way to tears if he were not that man. A pity he did not let himself weep. It might have helped. "She's right, you know," said Carolus quietly. "We all make mistakes. We all make wrong choices sometimes. None of us is perfect. If you let those errors eat you up, you can't move on, live your life. I nearly made a very bad one. Nearly said yes to joining the warrior monks. Loved the fighting, the training, the discipline. Never could get my mind around the prayers and chanting and rituals. Other things too, which I won't speak of here in case I give you all nightmares. It was a hard choice. I made some friends there. But looking back, I thank whatever gods might be inclined to listen for the decision I did make." "Besides," Mattis said, glancing over at Alexis, who still had his head bowed, "your story is unfinished. Don't forget that. Don't give up before every path has been exhausted." He busied himself with the tea preparations. "Lucas, will you pass me those cups? I think we all need a hot drink after that, and maybe a plan for tomorrow, though it's looking as if the foul weather may be with us for a while. Might be another day of enforced rest." The rain did not abate. As for the wind, if anything, it grew stronger as time passed. Alexis agreed that keeping watch at night would be pointless, and they all settled to sleep, glad that the very back of the shelter was still dry. The firewood they'd stacked there would do for the morning. They'd never keep a fire alight overnight unless someone stayed up to tend it, and nobody was volunteering. Stasia's mind was whirring with Alexis's story, the possibilities, the link with what he was doing now, if there was one. He must have had opportunities over the years to conduct a new search for Marcus's body. Couldn't he have used the resources of court if the ruler approved? As a senior advisor, he was probably wealthy in his own right, not that finding a small, sad set of bones somewhere in this vast landscape would have been an easy task. But perhaps it was something else that had sparked this journey. He'd asked her earlier whether she thought there might be people living up near the hermit. Could he really believe his childhood friend might have survived all these years, rescued by some unknown person who, instead of returning him to his family, had chosen to keep him up there? Surely any right-thinking person, any kindly person, would take the child straight home to his family. He'd been old enough to explain who he was and where he had come from, but how could a child of that age have made his way from down there, close to Sweetwater to the distant mountain top? The answer was, he couldn't. Not on his own. Did Alex think someone had snatched him and kept him? Taken him away? She shuddered to think of that. If Marcus had survived, he would be terribly changed by his experience. Might Alex find him and regret making the attempt? If he did find his friend, what was his plan? To take him home to his family for a happy reunion? That kind of thing happened in stories sometimes, but she could not see it in this one. She rolled over, cursing under her breath. At this rate, she was never going to get to sleep. The others were all quiet now, motionless under their blankets. The only one awake apart from herself was Flip, who was watching her, big-eyed, as if waiting for something. Stasia reached to stroke the little dog's back and scratch behind her ears, the way she liked. The temptation to send Flip ahead was always there. As a bird, she'd be able to fly quickly up the mountain, armed with a question such as, "Is there anyone up there?" But Stasia wouldn't send her. She hadn't forgotten that warning down by Clearwater, the twisted thorns, the powerful, threatening voice that only she could hear. Someone or something did not want her to be on this journey. There was danger out there. Flip had been unusually clingy for quite some time, reluctant to leave Stasia's side for long. She too was feeling the peril, the risk, the possibility that they were unwelcome. Besides, the weather was appalling. What bird would fly out in that, unless it was a life-or-death choice? She made herself calm, went through her pattern of breathing, whispered the words of Grandmother's verse to herself, knowing that in some way Flip would understand. "The oak's steep roots hold fast to the earth. I, too, will be strong." She imagined Grandmother saying, "Breathe, Stasia. Make your body still. Listen to what is around you. Hear the voices. The howl of the wind, the ceaseless drumming of the rain, someone snoring gently. The graceful willow moves with the wind. I, too, will dance." When the storm was over, when they reached home, wherever home was now, when they found what they were looking for, "The mighty ash towers to the heavens. I, too, will stretch high." She was trying, doing her best. Sometimes it was hard. Sometimes it felt as if she had stretched herself to breaking point. But it was always possible to do more. Always. To reach out a hand in kindness. To help a person in trouble. To keep going, even if you were weary to the bone and full of doubts. Flip sent her a mind picture. Stasia turning into a bird, not a lark this time, but something much bigger, perhaps a wild goose. Spreading her wings, rising to the sky, her snowy feathers touched to gold by the sunlight. Beautiful, powerful. The bird flew across a cloudless sky, away, away, leaving behind all that was familiar. A moment of sheer magic. "Thank you," Stasia whispered. The little one was wise. Stretching high could mean being prepared to leave the past behind, growing, moving on, learning new things, making new journeys, taking new risks. "The sun gleams on the still pool. I, too, will hold the light." The light was the love of all creatures, wayward humankind included. It was understanding. It was knowing how to make wise choices, how to keep going when things got overwhelming, and all you really wanted was to curl up and stop thinking for a while. It was keeping on walking, being a true friend, offering comfort when you knew someone was suffering, because it wasn't only holding the light, it was sharing the light. Perhaps the light showed the way forward, or the way out. "Hold the light," she whispered to Flip. "Be the light. All of us can do that, if only we can find it in ourselves." 35. Alexis. He woke to the sound of troubled voices, Mattis, Carolus, and the voice of the rain still pelting down. Although they were in shelter, everything felt damp. He struggled up, wrapping his cloak around him. What is it? What's happened? The two of them were standing at the cave mouth, looking out. Lucas was there too, with a blanket around his shoulders. We can't find Pavel, Mattis said. I've checked as far as the stream. We've called out, but I doubt he could hear us over the rain. None of us has seen him since last night. If he went out to take a piss in the woods, he did it before we woke, and he hasn't come back. A chill ran through Alexis's veins. Terror rose in him, a monster from long ago. He forced it down. He was leader. He must take control, stay calm, put a plan in place quickly. How long? Why didn't you wake me earlier? Then, at the look on Mattis's face, forget that. Lucas, will you make up the fire? He'll be cold when he gets back. We need to search straight away. He can't be far off, surely. Alex, Carolus spoke in the voice a parent might use to a panicking child. We can't search in this weather. We'll do nothing but wear ourselves out. We should warm up, prepare as best we can, and head out looking as soon as the rain eases off. Not all of us at once, two at a time. Or maybe two pairs, with someone staying here in case he comes back on his own. He may have found a bolt hole somewhere in the forest and be waiting for the same thing, a break in the weather. Why would he have gone so far away that he couldn't get back? Lucas asked. A piss in the woods, Mattis said. But that can be done a stone's throw from here. As he spoke, he was building the fire again. Alexis found himself unable to respond. In his mind, he was running through the forest in the pouring rain, shouting until his throat felt raw. Marcus! Marcus! Where are you? He ordered himself to take control, make a plan, get a grip, but he couldn't move. Alex, Stasia's voice, steady as a rock. Get dressed, warm up, one step at a time. He drew breath, came back to the here and now. If Carolus was the strong father at this moment, he thought, Stasia was the wise mother, bidding the frightened child be calm. He did as he was told. It made perfect sense. Besides, what other choice was there? Alex, something in Carolus's tone drew all eyes in his direction. He was standing by the inner wall of the shelter. Pavel's things are gone. Clothes, weapons, pack, even the blanket. A deathly silence. Then, are you sure? Alexis asked. He hasn't just moved them? What possible reason could he have for heading off on his own? Without saying a word. Mattis was somber. Even as he began the familiar routine of tea preparation, did anyone hear anything? Shaking of heads, murmurs of no. Some of the tales have travellers going missing, Stasia said. But they also have forest folk living in the woods, and all kinds of uncanny beings on the mountain. She paused to think. If such folk do exist, they might be friends or enemies. It depends which story you hear. You're saying they might actually help us, if they're real. Mattis was staring at her, brows up. In some stories they do, but you'd need to know how to call them. And there are right and wrong ways to ask beings like that for a favour. Alexis wanted to believe it was that easy. Say the right word and a horde of magical folk would appear and find Pavel and then conveniently vanish so they could get on with the journey. But he could not. And you don't know the magic word? He addressed this to Stasia, who quickly turned her attention to helping Lucas with the fire, but not before he glimpsed the look on her face. It upset her. It sounded mocking, unkind, and now he had no words to apologize. I think they leave signs sometimes, Stasia said, still not looking at him. They mark pathways, showing which way to go, or which way is safest, but who or what they are exactly I don't know. Believe me, Alexis, if I knew the magic word, I would say so. It's not a good time for a man to be out there on his own. After a bit, she added, Pavel's been looking worried, don't you think? And unusually quiet, as if something was troubling him. "Something on his mind, yes," said Mattis, hanging the pot over the new kindled fire. "Should have asked him if he wanted to talk it out, but I thought he was just tired, like all of us, missing his family, most likely. What in the name of the gods would make him head out on his own? Has he taken any supplies?"
"Hardly worth checking," Alexis said. "There's not much we can do about it either way."
"Makes sense to know what we've got left," Lucas said. "I'll check, if nobody has any objections."
"None at all." Alexis watched him as he went through the packs, wanting to tell Lucas he was a trusted part of the team now, but not quite prepared to say it. The truth was, the two of them, Lucas and Stasia, would be assets to any team. They were strong, capable, practical. It was all too easy to forget that Lucas still had a wound that was troubling him, and that the two of them had been through a nightmare before he brought them on this journey. If he had been delayed by a mere few hours in getting back from Raven's Watch, Lucas would have been brutally killed, and Stasia would have been forced to watch it happen. How could the ruler set such an act in motion? Gods! Now his mind was circling again, showing him vile images of what might have been, and terrifying ones of Pavale being attacked by a bear, or falling down a cliff, or simply getting lost in the forest, wandering, and never finding his way home.
"I'd say he's taken a few days' rations for himself, no more," Lucas said, breaking into the whirl of his thoughts. "If he's headed home, he'll need to trap or fish."
Silence again. It was Carolus who carried the trapping equipment and the fishing line.
"What would make him do this now?" Stasia mused. "If he changed his mind about coming, why leave it so long? And why not say anything?"
Mattis was shredding herbs into the pot. The smell was comforting, a reminder of better times. "The story of Marcus," the big man said, "the missing boy, made me think again about this place and its mysteries. Maybe Pavale saw something or thought of something that was a clue of some kind, something he thought he'd go and investigate on his own, in case he'd got it wrong and wasted everyone's time. Maybe it isn't far off. Could be he'll walk back in here with answers. You never know."
"The story of Marcus troubled him."
Stasia was lining up cups for Mattis to fill. "He looked as if he'd seen a ghost, or remembered something so terrible he couldn't speak of it. The story, the wretched story, that never left him for one single moment of one single day. The story that kept him awake at night, and when he finally slept, haunted his dreams. If only the answer were so simple."
"Possible," Alexis said,
"but not likely. He already knew the gist of it."
"He was tired," Carolus said. "It would have been hard making that trip to Hartwood, and then heading straight off again, more or less. And upsetting, no doubt. He had friends among the men Rihard took there. Friends who may well still be in that settlement."
"Drink, everyone," said Mattis. "It'll warm you up, and we'd best have something to eat. This storm can't go on forever. As soon as it dies down, the search begins."
"This can't wait," Alexis said, working hard for a steady tone. "He could be lying out there injured in this chill. The man doesn't have days. He may only have an hour, or even less. We eat, we wrap up, we head out, no matter what the weather. We find him today and bring him back to safety."
36. Stasia.
"Alex?"
"What?"
He had his back to her and was shrugging on his cloak. Even a wet garment could stand between a body and the chill wind.
"Before you go, something I didn't tell you about at the time, because it would have sounded odd, crazy. Whatever it is, just say it, Stasia. We need to move."
He pushed his feet into his boots, not turning. Around them, the others were doing their own preparations. Nobody had tried to argue with Alexis, though their faces told a different story. Stasia had been given first shift at camp, keeping the fire going, waiting in case Pavale made his own way back.
"Down by Clearwater, I got a strong message that somebody doesn't want us here on the mountain," she said. "Not a person, a
a power. I saw a sign woven into thorns, and I heard a massive voice, like thunder, warning me to go back.
He was suddenly very still. And you chose not to tell me?
Lucas said none of you had heard anything. I was quite close by, just along the shore. I wondered if that sound was only in my mind, but how could she tell him her whispers of kindness and peace had unwound the thorny token, released the plant from the curse or spell or whatever it was? She didn't understand that herself. It had been all too close to magic. I've seen other signs, all the way up. Patterns in leaves and grasses, stones placed in piles, markings on bark like ancient letters. Those are different. They helped me find the way. Whoever left them was a friend. But now Pavel's disappeared. I wonder if, well, if he might have been led astray or taken away. Oh, gods, she shouldn't have said that, even though she knew it was possible. Because Marcus, too, might have been taken by some malign force, taken and killed, or taken and twisted into something he should never have become. Sorry, she said, but we all need to be alert and careful, not just of rain and mud and cold, but of strange things, unexpected things.
Alexis turned his head and gave an abrupt nod.
Make sure that others know, he said,
which meant, at least, that he was prepared to believe the threat was real. Everyone ready?
Stasia felt the cold deep in her bones as she searched for more fallen branches, doing her best to stay within sight of the shelter. There'd been a good stack of firewood before the rain came, but it was running low now, and anything she collected would take a long while to dry out. Ah, there was a fallen limb that looked somewhat like a strange creature with many limbs and a grinning face. She dragged it out, broke it up as well as she could, holding it down with her foot as she snapped off the smaller branches. Whispered thanks to the tree for its gift. Enough for now. Her hands were growing numb. Back at the shelter, she laid the wood down in the dryish area at the back. Flip was snuggled under a blanket, with only the tip of her nose showing. Maybe you could change into a fire-breathing dragon, Stasia murmured. That might come in useful, but not right now, she added hastily, as the little dog started to wriggle out of her cozy spot. If there were malign forces out looking for them, a dramatic transformation of that kind would only bring them closer. And Flip, Stasia imagined, would not be well practiced at aiming her fiery blast, even supposing she could execute such a change. Flip had once become a larger dog, yes, but there must be limits to her ability. Some other time. Gods, it was cold. She'd rather be out there searching than waiting here, imagining all sorts of disasters, reliving all the things she'd got wrong, hearing herself making some stupid remark and upsetting people. Flip sent her a mind picture. Carolus, standing on his hands, then going through his personal stretching routine, which was far more challenging than the one he had taught the rest of them. Stasia could not help smiling. Good idea, she said. It will warm me up. And what will you do? A nightmare day. On the second shift, Stasia went out with Mattis. They found no trace of Pavel. Unsurprising, though a person could always hope for miracles. On the next shift, she went out with Carolus. The rain kept falling, the wind kept blowing, and the paths were a nightmare of dropped branches and slippery mud. Under the pines, there was some shelter. But the ill weather made it a place of heavy shadow, and it would be all too easy to lose the way, or to lose a companion. They had made a point of remembering landmarks to be sure they could find their way back. Their search to the southwest provided no clues, no sign a man had passed that way. They'd have had to find the man himself, dead or alive. The bad weather would have wiped out any other trace. Time to head back, Carolus yelled through the storm. Good. Stasia's voice was hoarse. This couldn't continue. None of them should try to do it again, but who was going to tell Alex that? They slogged their way through the mud, waded across a stream whose water had been ankle-deep before and was now almost waist-high, so much for even pretending their clothing was dry.
They helped each other as best they could. One last haul now, up a steep but navigable path to a spot where a particularly tall tree grew, and then down toward the shelter. "Let the fire be still alight," Stasia prayed. "Let everyone be all right. Let Pavel be safe." Carolus had told her Pavel had a wife and a baby son back at Dragon's Keep. Would they pay the price for his disappearance from the ruler's household? It didn't bear thinking about. Carolus was ahead of her. At the top of the rise, he stopped dead. "What in the name of..." Stasia stepped up beside him. This was the way they'd come. She was absolutely sure of it. From here, there should be a stony slope down, a few young trees, and the campsite not far off. Instead, they stood on a cliff edge. Below them stretched a vast lake, its dark waters turned to a seething cauldron by the storm. As they stood unbelieving, lightning flashed, thunder rolled, and a wayward wind clutched at their clothing, threatening to hurl them to their deaths. Carolus let out an oath. "What in the name of the gods is this?" He took a step back. "Something doesn't want us here," Stasia said, with her heart thudding. "Breathe," she reminded herself. This could not be fixed with a few words of kindness. This was the dark heart of the old tales, the curse that had likely driven travellers mad enough to leap from clifftops or run off into the forest heedless of their own safety. Had Pavel fallen victim to the same malign power? If so, gods help him. "What do we do?" Carolus shouted above the voice of the wind. "Turn back?" Stasia imagined turning to find another alien landscape laid out before them. "Stay where you are. Take my hand. Trust me." Carolus took her hand in his. He stood strong against the storm. As the wind lashed the trees and the cold clawed at heart and mind, she called, "Powers of goodness and light, powers of the old forest, help." Then she whispered the familiar words of the verse, imagining three women standing around her and Carolus, mother from the painting, her own grandmother, Helvi, and the old woman from the vision, together weaving a spell of protection, sharing their wisdom, sharing their courage. "It's not real," she told herself. "What's real is the two of us and our comrades, doing our best to help a friend in trouble." And she thought, "We're still in Heartwood Forest, and Heartwood Forest is ancient and good and wise. What we see is not the true tale. What we see is a falsehood, a lie, a trap. And what we need to do is..." "Oh, gods, don't look behind you," she warned, even as a low growling came from that direction. "We're in the right place, we just can't see it. Remember, it's a slope down, with stones, so we need to go slowly, step by step. Keep hold of my hand, shut your eyes, and keep them shut. On a count of three, we both move forward." She squared her shoulders and closed her own eyes as the wind howled around them and something in the sky above screamed a warning. Stasia pictured the three women, felt their power, deep as the oak's roots, strong as the ancient earth, wise and true. "One, two, three." Hand in hand, they stepped forward into nothingness. "Strangest experience of my life," said Carolus, as, wearing little more than a blanket apiece, they tried to dry their garments by the fire. "And there've been a few. How did you know what to do, Stasia?" She couldn't stop shivering. "Just did what felt right. I knew it couldn't be real. Sorry, I couldn't take time to explain." Carolus's smile lit up his whole face. "Sorry for saving my life. What you did was remarkable. Let's hope whatever it is doesn't try that again. Getting down that hill with my eyes shut was an experience.
I've no wish to repeat. Are you hurt?
I have my share of bruises. Just as well neither of us broke anything. What do I tell Alex?
Tell him the truth. Or I will, if you prefer. He's got to see sense at some point. Searching in this weather puts all of us at risk, even without the landscape rearranging itself.
Lucas had been the one keeping watch at camp. Now he was peering out into the rain.
They're late, he observed. He'd had nothing much to say when they told him what had happened, though he'd been quick to offer them the driest of the blankets.
Stasia's heart sank. Neither Mattis nor Alex would have much defence against an uncanny threat such as she and Carolus had just encountered. Expertise with weaponry went only so far. Pure courage on its own was not enough. Not in this place. In her bones, she knew they were moving into a different realm.
We should brew tea, Carolus said. That'll bring Mattis back for sure.
As a joke, it was less than hilarious, but under the circumstances, any light touch was welcome. Stasia did her best to cover herself with the blanket while she got into her spare tunic and trousers, which were marginally less soaked than the one she'd taken off. She busied herself with the water skin, the pot, the fire.
You know the whole story, don't you?
There was a harsh tone in Lucas's voice as he addressed Carolus about why Alexis is doing this, why he's trying to get to the hermit. The lost friend can't be all of it. It's crazy to think we'd find any trace now. Stasia focused her attention on what she was doing, though her whole body was tense. Flip chose this moment to patter out from the back of the shelter and settle by the fire.
We know, yes.
Carolus sounded perfectly calm.
But it's not for me to tell. What he's shared with you so far is the truth. Mattis and I can vouch for that. The rest of it has to wait. What you don't know, you can't be forced to divulge. What we don't talk about can't be overheard and carried to the wrong ears.
Silence, save for the heavy voice of the rain. Then Lucas said,
We're in danger here. Pavel's gone. Perhaps take him. If Stasia hadn't known what to do just now, you and she would both be dead. He needs to tell us the truth, and he needs to stop making ridiculous demands. We're tired. We're cold. We're wet through. We all know there's next to no chance of finding any trace of Pavel in these conditions. If he keeps this up, we'll soon be in no fit state to do anything. I don't understand why you obey his orders when it's
foolish, stupid. Carolus sounded remarkably calm. I can't give you an explanation, Lucas, not without revealing what I'm bound not to speak of. All I can say is that Alex has good reason for what he's doing. A lot more depends on this than finding answers to what happened when he was a boy. As for the search, none of us wants to leave Pavel out there on his own, but I agree that we can't keep this up all day, especially after our near miss. That was truly terrifying. I still can't quite believe it happened.
One last try for today, Alexis said. They were all back now, a motley crew standing around the fire in whatever garments or blankets were the least sodden. Beyond the shelter, the rain still fell, but perhaps the worst was over. That didn't mean any less mud or debris, Stasia knew. The streams would be swollen, the paths perilous to follow, not to speak of the oddities of the place. It was as if Alexis had barely taken in the horror of what they had told him, but it was Carolus who'd related that story. Surely Alex believed the word of his trusted friend. We'll rest a while, then head out again. Better speak up now rather than risk another dispute.
Lucas and I should work together this time, she said. I want to go the other way, uphill. I know Pavel's more likely to have headed back down, but we should get a wider view from up there, and maybe we'll spot some sign. Also, if you want me to find the best way on from here, I need to go higher, get a better idea of the terrain ahead.
A pause. Alex was frowning. I suppose you've been splitting us up because we're both wayfinders, but this needs the two of us. Lucas wasn't saying anything, which meant, at least, that he was prepared to go along with the suggestion.
Good idea, said Mattis. If Carolus is up to it after that alarming experience, he and I will make up the other team and perhaps take the fishing line with us. And you can keep watch here, Alex. Make plans for the next step in the journey.
Hmm, was all Alexis said. Stasia chose to take that as a yes, and perhaps an indication that he too was exhausted, not invincible, human, like the rest of them.
37. Stasia. They moved uphill on a narrow track. Here the trees stood among great mossy stones, and the high canopy had shielded the ground beneath from the worst of the deluge. The storm was dying down. The cold wind still clutched at them, but here and there the clouds were giving way to patches of cool blue, and the drenching rain had dwindled to an intermittent patterning. With luck, once they climbed high enough, the view might provide some wisdom. Flip had chosen to come with them as a tiny wren, but she did not lead, simply fluttered along nearby. She did not share her thoughts. Something was amiss with her, and it troubled Stasia. Did her small friend believe the whole venture was misguided? Was it stupid to put any trust at all in Alexis? It was clear Lucas felt that way.
You're quiet, Lucas said, jolting her out of her musings.
Going uphill, it helps not to talk.
We could rest for a bit. No rule against it.
All right. Up there, where the... Oh. Stasia came to a sudden halt. Beside the narrow track they were following through the forest, a great stone loomed, clad in a mossy cloak. On the ground directly before it stood a miniature cairn, the piled-up stones uniformly round and grey, not toppled by the storm, not washed away, though the ground was muddy and streamlets tumbled down between the trees. This tiny construction was neat and perfect.
Is someone trying to tell us something? Lucas asked.
She could have hugged him at that moment. Clearly, she had underestimated her friend.
I think so.
There were signs like this further down. You probably saw them.
You could have told me, he said after a silence.
Stasia heard the words he wasn't saying.
Don't you trust me? Your oldest friend.
It's hard with other people around all the time. Always someone listening.
You've been talking too much to Alexis. Lucas spoke without judgment, as if he was simply stating fact. The man who's afraid to speak up in case the wrong person hears the truth. The story whose ending never gets told. I'm happier if folks say whatever it is they want to say, even if it hurts to hear it.
The shadow of what had happened at court, the pain of that misunderstanding still lay between them, not far below the surface. He hadn't spoken out then, but who was she to judge? Stasia slipped her hand into his.
I'm sorry, she said. You know what people think about this kind of thing? The pattern, the stones. It's too easy for someone to say witchcraft and for other voices to join in, and then everything turns to hate and violence. Grandmother taught me to avoid that at all costs. It's bad enough that Alex and the others have seen Flip change. And what happened before, when Carolus and I... If I'd done something like that back in the settlement, I'd have been judged harshly.
She watched as the wren darted up to a low branch, gave one hard peck, then came down again with a wriggling morsel in her beak.
They seem like good men, but... It was too hard to finish that sentence. They were good men. Deep down, she knew it. Only under enough pressure, even a good man or woman can give away secrets, she added. And the ruler knows how to apply pressure.
She shivered, releasing his hand to wrap her arms around herself.
Up, said Lucas, pointing ahead to the point where forest once more gave way to steep rocky rise. Let's get to the top of that and then take a break.
Again, she understood the unspoken message, and for now we'll stop talking about the whole messy situation.
It was a steep climb. No question of talking
All their effort went into hauling their bodies up the rock face, finding the next safe hand or foothold, sucking in another breath. Not a race. That was something they might have tried in the past, on a safer climb in the time before. Before the commander came to the settlement, before their world turned upside down. They reached the top more or less together and found a secure spot to stand, not too near the edge. Flip had perched not far off in a little tree that clung to the rock, its roots in a crack that seemed too narrow to sustain any life at all. But there it was, a strange thing with heart-shaped leaves that were almost silver in colour and branches that curved curiously as if not quite sure which way to grow. It does feel as if we've moved into somewhere different, Stasia said. Lucas was gazing back down the mountain. We wouldn't see Pavail from here, he said, as if he had not heard her. Even if he was wearing something bright, something that would stand out, the trees block out almost everything. Maybe from higher up? We need an idea of the best way on. Higher up would mean further into the part of the mountain that was different, Stasia thought. The place might change again, and they'd walk off a cliff or fall down a ravine or find themselves at the bottom of a lake. Some signs meant, yes, this way. Some meant flee or perish. In the tales, travellers in Heartwood Forest tended to die at the hands of monsters, be driven mad by ghosts, vanish without a trace, or return home changed beyond recognition, unfit for the world as they'd known it. What did the hermit hold for them? The wise woman stretching out her hands in welcome, or the knives and the blood, the terror and the fury? Perhaps a bit higher, Lucas said, and for a moment she couldn't remember what they'd been talking about. He sounded less than enthusiastic. Take too long and we'll have Alexis thinking he's lost us too. I think if we go that way, he pointed northeastward, there might be a spot where it flattens out for a bit. We might get a clearer idea of the lie of the land up ahead. That would help you decide on a route when we all move on, don't you think? Sounds good. Let's just sit here a while first and enjoy the quiet. They settled as comfortably as they could. Flip stayed in bird form, hopping from stone to stone, perhaps seeking out insects. Stasia? Hmm? Why didn't you choose to go with one of the others this time? Why me? We're the best team for this, especially after what happened before with Carolus. What, because we know how to move safely through the forest? What happened was something completely different. I'd have had no idea what to do. There's something strange and evil here, just like in the tales. I can't explain what it is, Lucas, nor why I did what I did. It was risky. I couldn't know what would happen. But I think there's a power here that wants us to find the right way, and another that wants to stop us. You and I know the forest. We respect it and understand it as much as a man or woman can. And the forest knows us. The others may be well-meaning, but they're strangers in this place. And because of that, they don't have the full trust of that good power. What about Alexis? He's been here before, if you believe the story. As a child. Not far into the forest and not for long. And he made a bad choice. And now all of us are paying for that bad choice. Lucas's tone was bitter. What chance is there, really, of finding any trace of this lost boy? The man's lost sight of what is reasonable. He drove all of us too hard today, yes, and I agree the chances of tracking down Marcus are slim. I was surprised the reason for being here wasn't something grander. He spoke to me once about making the Northlands a better place. Stasia? Hmm? Say we go up there, all the way to the hermit, and Marcus isn't there, and nor is anyone else. Just the five of us, with hardly any supplies left. Say that against the odds we make it safely back down, all the way to Sweetwater. What happens then? I can't answer that, Stasia said.
If he's been telling us the truth, then doing this will mean he's lost his trusted position at court, and the ruler will be angry. He defied her orders. He took us away, meaning she couldn't use me for her own purposes. And the commander will still be in Hartwood, as far as we know. I should be there, Lucas said. There was an unsettling edge to his voice now, like the first hint of a storm. They need me. Even though Paval said father is well, even if things have settled down a bit, that man has done terrible damage. He's evil. He's a curse on the place. I should be there.
I understand. But be sensible, Lucas. If he's still in the settlement, the moment he learned you'd come back, he'd target you, pump you for information, hurt you as he did before. And she hesitated, seeing the grim look on his face.
And what?
If you go back, you put your family at risk. The commander might use them to force the truth out of you. Your loved ones could be hurt, and you'd put all of us at risk too. If you refused to speak, you'd probably end up dead. That's the way the man does things.
Lucas picked up a pebble and threw it with some violence over the drop.
You can't understand, he said. You have no family. You can't know how it feels.
Stasia blinked back sudden tears. She rose to her feet. Let's move on, she said. We'll try this way, he suggested. And she thought, we can't afford to spend time making each other feel bad. But she did not say it. To keep going required faith in the mission. It required heart. Perhaps for that, a person only needed to believe in their companions. If men like Mattis and Carolus had faith in Alexis and his quest, that had to be worth something. If Pavel, to start with at least, had been prepared to put his loved ones at risk in order to support Alex, that meant a great deal. Pavel was gone now, and they might never know what had happened to him. That made it all the more important to see this through. The two of them went on. The silence was full of things unspoken, full of what had been between them and what might have been. Higher up, there was open ground and a track that might have been used by wild goats, weaving between rocky outcrops and a scattering of hardy trees. Here and there, a tall larch stood, majestic against the sky, as if guarding the land around it. Flip kept pace, flying from tree to tree, coming down occasionally to drink from puddles left by the recent storm. Stasia tried to banish the troublesome thoughts. She would have liked to say, you are my family, but that would have been neither accurate nor fair. Lucas felt like family. He had from early times, like a brother, only not quite. But he wasn't blood kin, and she would never have a place in his family. Both of them knew it, though they never talked about it. And even if things changed at Hartwood and she went back to her cottage and her old life, Lucas was sure to marry soon. She doubted his wife would approve of a close friendship between her new husband and the village outsider. Maybe the only answer was to retreat into the forest, build herself some sort of shelter, become a hermit. She imagined herself clad in garments woven from leaves and grasses with her hair a wild nest, walking barefoot under the trees, seeking wisdom in still pools or the smoke of a tiny campfire, and when humankind came close, hiding away like a wild creature. It had a certain appeal, but in practical terms, it was unlikely. In the settlement, she had an understanding with ordinary folk. Work hard, make yourself useful, earn your keep in food and other necessities, be treated fairly, if somewhat warily, and in the case of certain people like Farmer Vidas, receive some respect, because those folk saw that what made her different also made her valuable. She hoped Vidas was safe, and Kirill. She hoped everyone was safe. If by some miracle the commander withdrew his men from Hartwood, maybe the folk who were left would not be too damaged to set things to rights. Maybe they would be stronger than before. But they'd need leaders,